Hello, and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm Ryan Costello, replacing John Godek for this episode, and I'm joined by the winner of the Battle of the Pantheons, Connor Young.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Very excited to have you. This was a cool contest that No Direction Network was involved in, and we'll kind of describe Battle of the Pantheons as we go through it. I think most people listening to this will know what that was. But I'd like to know what Battle of the Pantheons was like for you, specifically the day that you were announced as the winner of Battle of the Pantheons.
So I suppose I have been playing Pathfinder for several years. I've always been very interested in what's been going on with the Paizo blog, and I suppose this competition popped up. And I thought, you know, I may as well try my hand at something. You know, I've written my own campaign for my friends, and, you know, I never dreamed that I would possibly get into the finalists, let alone win. And I'm living in Dublin in Ireland, so due to the time difference, it was extremely late. I think it may even have been midnight here when the results came out, and I was in bed refreshing my phone, and I was absolutely delighted, overwhelmed. I actually started laughing because I couldn't believe that I could possibly have won. But yeah, it was a great feeling. You know, I did put a lot of thought into my entry, and you know, I was delighted. I still can't fully believe that I did so well. So I'm very happy, yeah.
So you find out at around midnight. How do you go to sleep after that?
I stayed up for a while, you know, just kind of trying to take it all in. But yeah, no, it was a great feeling.
Sure. Now, you said that you never imagined you would win. Is that really true? Like, you entered this contest. Surely some part of you was like, and I am going to win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was more a kind of a thought exercise because, you know, I love the kind of Galarian lore. I love the deities and kind of religion in Pathfinder as a whole. And I thought, you know, I've got the Gods of Magic book. Why don't I try and put something together? I suppose, you know, I thought I had an outside chance of winning. But I thought even if I got into the finalists, that would be more than enough. I would be happy, you know, if at some point my name had popped up on the, or my entry had popped up on the Paizo blog. But yeah, no, I honestly wasn't holding out that much hope that I would win the thing overall. So I was very happy.
What's also nice about Battle of the Pantheons, as opposed to, say, RPG Superstar, the work is done. Whereas RPG Superstar, when they won it, that means now they've got this huge writing assignment that maybe they are now in over their heads. But you, the hard part was over. Now it was just handling your anticipation.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely, you know, there was a lot of you know, hemming and hawing for me about what way I would take the fluff and what kind of mechanics I would put into it, including me asking, you know, getting support from my gaming group, me asking my wife, who has minimal interest in the hobby overall, but was happy to give some pointers. Yeah, you know, the hard work was done, and it was all just about, you know, I suppose I enjoyed the, you know, the feeling of satisfaction.
So why don't you go over the Path of Heavens and what were you thinking? What was the direction you took, that the pantheon that you submit?
So I suppose what I wanted was, I wanted something with a little bit of depth. And I always think something that Paizo do really well is they write in little kind of subtle things. Like, for example, the Dawnflower cult for Saren Rae, and that's a little bit kind of a very different path. So I kind of wanted this Path of Heavens to kind of have, to represent two things. There's firstly kind of more a scientific group of people who I think would follow it, who would be kind of interested in the physical movement of the stars, kind of creating star charts, helping with navigation. And then there's kind of, you know, those people kind of more, I imagine, like ascetic or monk types who literally follow the Path of the Heavens and see these various deities as kind of leading them along a path to, you know, enlightenment or freedom or, you know, kind of religious satisfaction. And then I also I suppose a significant part of the fluff paragraph I put in was about kind of Nocticula being in there as a kind of extra deity who maybe takes things down a slightly, not darker path, but maybe a more neutral path, given that the pantheon overall is good aligned. And I kind of wanted that to be a little bit of a spin on it. So I suppose what I wanted to achieve was something with depth, and I hope I achieved that.
Yeah, there were definitely my favorite pantheons that were submit, because I was one of the judges, in case people didn't know that. My favorite ones were the ones where it was not an obvious collection of gods, where there was at least one outlier, or you could see factions within the pantheon. And Nocticula was the one that it's like, yeah, I see how Saren Rae Sukiyo and Desna all fit together. So now where does Naticula come in? That's what makes a pantheon interesting to me.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, you've all these kind of good gods who are kind of all about kind of, you know, traveling. But I thought, you know, there has to be somebody who's willing to play a little bit. You know, in every pantheon, like the Greek pantheon, you've Hades. You know, there's always somebody who's willing to play a little bit dirty to get things done. So, that was the kind of the idea behind it.
Now, you mentioned that you'd already designed some stuff for your home game. Did you design things using Galarian lore? Like, was this the kind of design work you'd already done?
So, I'd never really made a pantheon before. I kind of had a home campaign, which, to be honest, was when we started playing Pathfinder, or close to starting. It was quite generic, but I definitely put a lot of thought into the deities. My first Pathfinder character was a cleric, and, you know, I would have had a lot of thought, and religion would have played a heavy part in that campaign. Mainly kind of Abadar with a little bit of Sarenrae, who were kind of some of my favorite deities. But I wouldn't really have done anything like this before.
And what about just broader goals as a freelancer or any other design goals you might have?
It's funny because I'd never really thought about writing for Paizo or getting anything published. I had ambitions and I wanted to make the best possible game for me and my friends, but I'd never really thought about submitting something. So I suppose I'm still kind of in shock, but I definitely, if given the opportunity, I would like to publish something again. You know, it was a great experience.
I can definitely see you getting the opportunity because you've already got something on your resume without any other writing credits. You are a contest winner. You went through several rounds and professionals vetted it, fans vetted it. People wanted what you wrote.
Thanks, Ryan. I suppose it's funny because I don't consider myself a writer, and my job is very different from writing or Pathfinder. So, you know, it's very much, it's a nice kind of relaxing thing I do with my friends. I'm happy that, you know, people were interested in what I wrote.
Do you mind going into what your day job is?
Yeah, I'm a doctor. I'm working in Dublin and Ireland. So it's, I suppose, you know, it's people say it's both an art and a science, but it's probably more a science than an art. Yeah, it's very different from kind of, I don't really do much with English or writing outside of kind of as a hobby with my friends.
That's cool. When you said that it was very different from writing, I was all prepared to say, whatever you say, I'm going to make a connection. But no, being a doctor is pretty different from being a writer. You can't get creative.
Yeah, the only good thing is that it wasn't a handwritten competition, because if it was, then I would have automatically been disqualified because no one would have been able to read my entry.
Classic. How come you're not credited as Dr. Connor Young in the blog post?
Oh, I think that's a bit, I don't know, I wouldn't stand and stare at me like that. Connor Young is fine.
You earned that doctor title.
Yeah, and sure, I'd use it in work occasionally, but no, I definitely wouldn't. In something like this, I would be very happy to just fly under the radar.
What first brought you to Pathfinder?
So it's actually really funny. I have a good group of friends, and, you know, one day I was standing in a local gaming store in Dublin, and I had, you know, the equivalent of about $50 or $60, and I was standing there with my friend, and I was about to buy a board game. I have no idea what it was. I can't remember. And then he pointed to the Pathfinder, like, start playing box set that they have, and he said, "No, I've heard this is good."
Sure, the beginner box.
Yeah, and I'd never played RPGs. I'd never had any interest. This was in kind of early on in college, and you know, he really pushed my friend Ivan really pushed for me to get this. Despite the fact that it was my money, I'd like to point out. And I said, yeah, sure, okay, fine, if you really think it's that good. And ever since then, I've been hooked. You know, we started playing with a group of four of us. We had no idea how to play the game. One of my friends created a character that's, you know, endured forever called Rickrose Waveharp, who was a sorcerer with 10 charisma. And, you know, we started playing the game and then realized that, oh no, wait, this character is completely non-functional. And, you know, we really built up a love for the game over, I don't know, it must be like 6 or 7 years now, more, maybe closer to 10.
So what were some of his arguments for why you should pick up this box with your money instead of the game that you were originally drawn to?
He was very persuasive. He said, nope, this is what you want. I've heard it's unbelievable. You know, we can get some friends together to play it. You know, like he just wouldn't take no for an answer. And I suppose I hadn't really committed. The fact that I can't remember what the other game is probably says enough about whatever it was. I was open to kind of suggestion, but yeah, no, he just persuaded me. I suppose I've got an unbelievable hobby out of that, so thanks to him.
What is the local role-playing scene like in Ireland? Or you're part of Ireland, I'm sorry.
I mostly play with my friends. You know, I think there is this kind of GaleCon, which I've been to before very briefly. I'd say it's growing. I think in Ireland, it might not be a bit too much to say that we like storytelling, and storytelling is, you know, a large part of our culture. So I think it's something that I could see definitely growing. But for me, I mostly play with my friends, and that group includes people who drop in, drop out, you know, for maybe a couple of games, but there's kind of a core group of us who would play together.
Now, at some point you did find the Paizo website and you joined it enough that you were following the blog. So what made you go from just enjoying this game, which could have been all you ever did with the hobby, to finding the larger community that was attached to it?
I suppose I loved the game, and the more I got into it, the more I wanted to know about what was coming out, what the designers were thinking, what their plans were. You know, I would have listened heavily to the No Direction podcast for kind of guidance on kind of upcoming books, like the Advanced Class Guide and things. And I just kind of, I tended to like visit the Paizo blog at least once a day just to see. I mean, you know, there wouldn't always be something there that I was interested in, but more often than not, there'd be, you know, a new product or a new adventure path that I would be kind of keen to learn about.
What are some of the adventure paths you've played so far?
So we kind of started out, it's kind of funny because I feel like most people start out playing an adventure path and then do kind of homebrew campaigns, whereas we very much started out doing homebrew campaigns. I suppose the first game we ever played was Crown of the Kobold King, which may have been, that was my friend Ivan, who may have adapted that for the 3.5. But in terms of, we're kind of running multiple games at the moment. I'm running Strange Aeons, my friend Michael's running Iron Fang Invasion, we've got a War of the Crown game going, and then we also have an Against the Aeon Throne game going in Starfinder. So we've kind of sampled a lot of the different adventure paths, and I'm looking forward to seeing what more stuff Paizo come out with.
In case people are listening to this in the future, it's July 2020 when we're recording this, and that should immediately give people like, oh, 2020. How is Ireland doing with COVID-19? Like, are you able to get together in game stores again?
So we're actually, I mean, we're not doing that badly, I would say. We were badly hit initially. We had a big peak. I think that we did reasonably well in that the hospitals never got overwhelmed. We never really ran out of ICU beds. Obviously, unfortunately, there have been a lot of deaths and a lot of people who've been very sick, but I think overall we're coming out of it. So we can't quite meet up in local gaming stores, but you're able to have, you know, you can have a couple of people from different households meet and try and social distance as best you can. So we're talking about maybe meeting next weekend to play a game, which will hopefully be in person.
But otherwise, you've been mostly playing virtual tabletops?
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Roll20, and my friend got a premium account this year for the first time, purely just because we've been using it so much. We've kind of tried a little bit occasionally with kind of WhatsApp-based kind of play-by-post campaigns, but I just find that, you know, there's something about sitting down with real people that I think just is really what sets the hobby apart from kind of computer games. And obviously it's sad that that is impossible for, you know, a lot of people at the moment, but in my mind, that's really what sets it apart.
So when you first started looking into the larger community and the larger hobby, were you surprised just how far it went, how widespreading and popular this game was?
Yeah, I think it's just amazing that, you know, for a game that I would have considered, you know, before I started playing it, relatively niche and small, you can find, you know, information, guides, builds, blog posts on pretty much anything from the game that you can possibly imagine. People have created so much content. People have, you know, created lore and stories and campaigns, obviously, but then people have also, you know, built their own homebrew weapons and items and gods. And, you know, I just think it's really, I think the community is really vibrant. I think people are very helpful. You know, it's nice to see people, you know, posting about starting their first campaign or, you know, running an adventure path and seeing people get a good response and good support. You know, I know that whenever I reached out to the community for help, mainly through Reddit, I've gotten good responses and I've gotten, you know, help with what I wanted. So I think there's a kind of treasure trove of information out there that people have created.
What has response to Path of Heavens been like?
So I suppose I remember refreshing the the blog post just to see what people thought, because my big worry would be, particularly when the finalists were announced, that kind of I wasn't worried that people were going to, like, you know, out and out say that my Pantheon was terrible. But I kind of had imposter syndrome a little bit, and I was just like, oh, you know, what if they just... I didn't know how many applications there were. So for a second, I deluded myself, thinking, oh, maybe there were only, like, 4 applications, and, you know, they had to throw mine in, and the load were disqualified. But, yeah, the response has been overwhelming. My gaming group are all delighted. And, you know, it's nice that one of us has kind of made their mark in some way on the game. And I think, you know, the response from the blog post, the comments have been very positive, and I'm very grateful.
Have you got any plans to make a character that worships that Pantheon yet?
Yes. I think it would be something I'd have to plan. It's really funny how, I mean, it's never really happened to me before, but now that I've committed the words to, I suppose it's not to paper, but the words to the screen, it's locked in now. I can't change anything I've written, and I feel like I would like to build so much more on what I wrote. So I think I would have to go away and have a long think about it. I definitely would like to play a character in that Pantheon, and, you know, I really love second edition, and I think it's just a really, I think, you know, clerics and paladins second edition are really neat. But I'd have to go away and think about it. I would plan to, but not anytime soon. It's not a spur of the moment thing I'd do.
So one of the things that I mentioned when we were talking about the, you know, when we announced that you had won on the podcast, yeah, I mentioned that there were actually quite a few pantheons that had kind of a travel domain, kind of had the gods are watching you on the roads theme to them. What do you think it was about that theme that spoke to you and spoke to so many other people that had entered?
Well, I think the Pathfinder Society is about traveling. I think it's about exploration, you know, and it's about, and I think that, you know, if you think about classic fantasy tales, you know, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, I suppose I shouldn't just pick Tolkien, but, you know, they're all about, like, travel. It's about the journey, you know, and it's about the obstacles you find on that journey and overcoming them. I think that travel is just a massive part of fantasy and Pathfinder in particular. I think it just speaks to a lot of people.
So there was also a common theme of lawyers, and I am not surprised that one of the lawyer pantheons did not win. No offense to them, but just between going out, going on an adventure, or really being into rules, I can see which one appeals to players more.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, Asmodeus, I think, is one of the most interesting deities by far. And I'm not really surprised. I presume people were bringing lawyers in through him. And I'm not particularly surprised. I think he's a fascinating character.
They actually could not, because he was evil and therefore disqualified from the contest.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
So there was a lot of Abadar.
Oh, I see. Okay. Again, a very cool deity.
So where do you see yourself going from here?
I think I'd definitely like to pursue writing more. I think I would find it tough to do professionally, because what I liked about the competition was that I felt like I had time. You know, it was a very manageable amount of work I had to do. It was clearly defined. I couldn't go off and spiral into thinking, oh, you know, what am I going to do? Doing 10 different drafts, because, you know, it was a set number of everything. But I think, you know, in terms of, you know, doing a bit of freelance stuff, I'd be very interested in doing it in the future. I don't quite know how okay it would be for me to contact the head of Paizo Organized Play and offer my services again, but I'm kind of on the point of considering it.
Well, first of all, that's totally okay. They accept solicitations saying, like, this is who I am, this is how you would know me, this is what I'm interested in writing. That's absolutely, they expect to get emails like that. But also, there was just a call for submissions from Wayfinder for issue number 21.
Okay.
And the theme is the Gravelands, if that interests you at all.
Oh, I mean, I don't see how it couldn't. I think it's the biggest... I kind of regret... See, the problem with all these adventure paths is you always feel like you want to play them all. I just, like, I have this thing about starting new adventure paths, and the fact that I haven't played Tyrant's Grasp, you know, really upsets me. But I think the Gravelands is just a fast... Again, like, you know, the good guys winning is kind of a bit of a tired, you know, theme. And I think the idea that the Whispering Tyrant has just come back destroyed the Knights of Last Wall, destroyed the nation of Last Wall, and just completely taken over. It's just a really interesting story beat. So yeah, I'd be very interested. I'll have to look at that. Thank you very much for that link.
Yeah, I know that, like, I like that we've got a video game now for Wrath of the Righteous, which is a, don't have it now, but it's coming out. That's an IP that interested me, but was kind of notorious for having some broken mechanics. So it's like, if I ever did manage to get the time to run this and then was disappointed by the mechanics, that would just kill me. So knowing that it's kind of getting a new draft and a new way to explore the story, I like that. I like that Curse of the Crimson Throne came out as a card game. So I like that Paizo is expanding ways you can access their stories.
Yeah, and I think for me, obviously the game is phenomenal, but I think that the writing that they do is also just so excellent, you know? It's kind of a case of the narrative and the mechanics just working so well together. And I think, I agree with you. It's a pity sometimes when the narrative gets held back by mechanics. So I think, you know, experimenting with different things to see what fits the narrative is definitely a good move.
Gen Con is coming up, at least as of this recording. Have you ever been to a Gen Con before?
So, unfortunately, I've never been to a Gen Con. My friends traveled to PaizoCon last year, unfortunately without me, as I was getting married and I was saving up money for my wedding. And they had an absolutely phenomenal time. I think they effectively didn't go through jet lag because they just refused to go to sleep. So they stayed on Irish time gaming at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know, we actually had planned to go to PaizoCon this year. We kind of made a pact that, you know, okay, we're going to go again this year. It's going to be great. So obviously that can't happen now. But you know, I definitely have ambitions to go to a big convention. I don't know when that will be possible. But you know, I would love to go to for sure.
Have you looked into PaizoCon, Gen Con online?
I've looked into it briefly before, but I suppose I kind of, traveling to America is like a long distance, and also in terms of funds. So I'd always kind of figured that if I was going to go to one, I'd go to PaizoCon, because I probably would only be able to go to one. I haven't looked into Gen Con that much, no.
But the online one, the one that you could get to without going anywhere.
Yeah, no, again, I'd be very interested. I suppose it's trying to find time and time off. You know, that's kind of the main barrier for me.
I can get that because I did not take time off for PaizoCon and I felt like I was just trying to cram a convention into my normal life. And that I should have known would not have worked. And it didn't. Yeah. It was stressful.
Yeah, I think for something that for anything that you really value, I think, you know, trying to take time off for is good so you can properly commit yourself to it and, you know, get in full enjoyment from it.
Let's go back to, you entered the contest. It was being announced slowly over a series of blogs narrowing down the winners. Yeah. So, like, what were your reactions blog by blog to your name constantly showing up at the Paizo blog?
I suppose, I don't know how long the gap was between the submissions being announced, them going in, and then the finalists being announced, but it felt like about 6 months. not because obviously you guys were working very hard and had a lot of mitigating circumstances, but for me, I just remember, my worry was that, oh, have they forgotten? Maybe they've just, like, you know, announced this competition, it's happened, and there's going to be a blog post saying, you know, sorry guys, we did our best, but we actually can't run it. I suppose, you know, I just remember being stunned when I was in the finalists. The way that it was ranked, the first one, you know, I was the second one down, so I'd seen the first one, I was kind of holding out hope all being the finalist. I saw the first one, I was like, oh, okay, you know, that was always a pipe dream. And I scrolled down and my submission was there. I mean, my name wasn't there, but my submission sure was. And that was just a very vindicating feeling. I suppose our kind of, at least my worry, is that whenever I'm writing stuff for the game, that it's secretly really bad, and all my friends just kind of play along and just say, oh, you know, great job, just because they don't want to hurt my feelings. I don't know. I imagine that a lot of people have that worry. But, you know, it was really nice to just see that something I'd written had such a kind of positive feedback. And then obviously the winner was announced, and I actually laughed. I laughed continuously for about 5 minutes. And you know, my wife started to get quite worried about me. I just couldn't really believe that I'd won. And I had stayed up quite late, so there may have been some sleep deprivation involved with that. But yeah, I was just elated.
So if your friends were just pretending for your sake, they're better than my friends, because if I'm doing something that is not engaging them, I'm getting the blank stares, I'm getting the yawns, I'm getting the phones out. Like, it's usually pretty easy to tell if somebody is actually engaged with what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true. But I suppose kind of deep down, everyone is secretly, at least I feel people are secretly worried that their stuff doesn't have traction. But, you know, I have a great gaming group in that we all kind of rotate through GMing, which means that, you know, I kind of find the concept of this forever GM really disconcerting, this idea that there's just one person who's a GM all the time. And the fact that when you rotate through, I feel like you gain an appreciation for what the GM does, because I feel like it's very easy to sit back and, you know, not necessarily criticize, but just presume that it all comes really easily. And then when you're there holding the book and you're having to deal with these things on the fly, you're like, oh, I suddenly understand just how much pressure the GM is under.
You were talking about how it felt like the contest results were never going to be announced. So normally when there is a contest, there would be a public like statement of, and this is when we will announce it. But this was mostly being done with Tanya, who runs the organized play. And she was also heavily involved in PaizoCon Online, which was also a thing that was completely experimental, new, and all on her shoulders. And so we were getting little notes back and forth of like, this is now when we're planning on doing the Battle of the Pantheons announcement. We're still not sure. So from our point of view, we were getting these constant little updates. But I guess as a contestant, you were just like, just left to flail in the wind and hope that one day this would be announced and you would be able to land.
Yeah, I did have faith. You know, I actually have a lot of respect for Paizo as a company, and for you guys, obviously. And I was sure that it would happen. And I was sure that there was a lot of wheels turning in the background. But yeah, I definitely was starting to get a little bit worried that it would just never materialize, or at least it would materialize months further down the road.
So you mentioned a couple of times imposter syndrome and feeling like maybe people don't enjoy your stuff as much as you do. Where do you think that comes from? This fear that you, who are clearly a very creative person, might just not be creative enough.
That's a very deep question, Ryan. I've only met you 39 minutes ago. I think that I don't know. I think that, yeah, that's a difficult question. I suppose. I'm more of a practical person than a creative person, if that makes sense. And I've always identified myself as somebody who's very practical, very kind of goal-orientated. You know, I like making plans, executing plans. And I wouldn't really have considered, like, throughout school, I was maths, science, physics. You know, I wouldn't really have been big into English. I like languages, but that was kind of the extent of it. So I suppose, yeah, I never really considered myself a creative person, and kind of from, I suppose it comes from that really. But yeah, this has been a very vindicating experience, I suppose.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, now that you're on the other side of it, has your perspective on yourself and your own ability to be creative changed?
Yeah, I think for sure. You know, I never would have dreamed of, you know, of emailing the director of Pathfinder Society before and asking for a writing job, or at least, you know, a freelance job. And yet here I am now, you know, with a draft of the email on my desktop. So, you know, I think that, yeah, I've definitely gained a lot more confidence in my own writing. I think that it's something that I'll hopefully take forward into the future in campaigns or games that I'll run with my friends. And yeah, I think, you know, it's a big boost for sure.
Is there anything else about Pathfinder that you really wanted to dive into? Something about the game that speaks to you that you haven't brought up yet?
I think that's a good question. I suppose I think the thing that fascinates me the most about the Pathfinder system and the lore is definitely deities, which is why I was so delighted that this very specific contest came up. You know, my first character is a cleric. You know, I have almost every character I've ever played has a deity. I've played very few characters who don't have one, because I think it's just such a great way of, you know, new players are always told to play fighters because fighters are simple, or they can be complex, but you can build them simple, straightforward. You go up, you attack. But I think, you know, once you get the handle on the mechanics, the real thing that people struggle with is coming up with backstory. And I think having a deity just really nicely defines your character. You know, you automatically have a set of enemies. You have deities that you don't like. You know, in the case of some deities, you know, you're like, you campaign against undead. You have a set of allies. You have a set of deities that are associated with you. You have contacts. If you go into a city or a town, you have a temple or a church that you can attend. And your character usually has the inbuilt set of morals. You know, you have things that you believe in and things that you fight against. I think religion in role-playing games is so interesting, which is ironic because I'm not a particularly religious person myself. But I just think the way that it, you know, permeates the world and can permeate your character if you let it is really interesting.
It's not that ironic because real-world religions and fantasy world religions, they only share a common vocabulary. They're not the same thing. As of now, you do not have a page on the Pathfinder Wiki, which I think is something that's going to be resolved soon. And I look forward to first seeing that page show up and then seeing it evolve over the years as you do get more freelance credit and possibly a Pathfinder Society scenario. I'm invested in your journey at this point.
Thank you, Ryan. Well, I'll let you know how I get on. I would be very hopeful that would expand in the future.
Excellent. Is there anything you want to shout out to or let people know how to get in touch with you?
I suppose... I think I have to shout out to my gaming group. Michael, Stephen, Ivan, Kian, Jesse, my brother Patrick, who have, you know, been very supportive both in this endeavor and kind of throughout the time I've played. We kind of, you know, I think that role playing games are a real kind of social event, or at least they are for me, and these are all people I would consider some of the closest people in my life. I'd have to thank them for playing with me.
And was it Ivan who was the one who told you to pick up that box?
Ivan was the one who told me to pick up the box, yes.
All right, shout out to Ivan.
Did I not say Ivan? Oh.
You may have, but I feel like he needs to be specifically spotlighted.
Thank you very much for saying that, Ryan, because if I miss anybody on this, I was specifically told to mention each person. So if I missed anyone... I don't know, maybe I'll have to email you and ask you to back and re-record the whole thing again.
Sure, just say his name as clean audio and I can cut it back in.
In a soundbite. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. You're very good.
All right, thank you very much, Connor.
Yeah, Ryan, thank you so much.